Welcome back to Pack Mentality, and today I'm going to be talking about the three critical steps that you are currently missing in your training. Now, this is the second week out of 52. I'm going to be doing a podcast a week on program design for the entire year, and this is mainly designed for my coaches, but I think if you do any kind of training that this would be very helpful for you to know kind of the back end on what goes on in actually designing training programs. Now, if you're first joining us and this is the first one you're listening to, go and head back and listen to the very previous episode, the last one, which is the hierarchy of program design. Start there, listen to that one first, and then come back to this one. Now, if you don't know me, I'm Matt Banwart. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California with my wife, Caitlin. And we start this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Now, before I get into the three P's of program design, which is what we're going to be talking about today, just some context on where I'm coming from is that I am going on my 18th year of coaching. I've owned my gym close to 13 years now in Huntington Beach coaching CrossFit. I've spent a lot of money and time working on learning how to design training programs, and this is probably the most important template that I use for designing any kind of training program, anything from one-on-ones to group coaching and beyond. So today I'm going to be talking about the three P's, and the three P's is plan, prioritize, and periodize. Now, whether you're an athlete or a coach, or you're just someone looking to improve your fitness, if you can master these three principles, you will definitely take your training to the next level, because this is something that's hugely missing, is people just jump straight into training. They just jump straight into movements or exercises with no context on a plan or a roadmap to actually get there in the first place, because then you're just kind of just doing random workouts without any kind of ups and downs or progressions. And this is where the three P's come in for program design. So let's get right into the first one, which is plan. Now, this is a very broad term, so let's actually define what planning means in a program design or a fitness context. And that is setting a roadmap for success based on your goals and needs, specifically, and in this case, specifically for fitness. And the reason why this matters is because it reduces the guesswork and it increases the efficiency. Because the thing is most people have no idea what the hell they're doing. They're just going off and doing random workouts and hoping that they get to where they are, or they're just doing random drills. Like for example, for muscle ups, people they're working on skills, but they're not working on strength, or you have some people working on strength, but they're not working on skills. And then on top of that, there's no progression or no way to actually progress or to get to the next step. You know, you're just kind of doing things, hoping that you're going to get there. And we all know long term that that will not work. And what this does is it provides a clear path to progress and success. And some tips for effective planning is, first off, you need to start with a goal. So what is my end game? And the more specific, the better. So you're looking for, first off, you can start broad. So do we want to increase strength? Do we want to increase endurance, weight loss, fat loss specifically? Or do we want to improve a skill? Or do we have something, an event specifically that we're training for? So you have to ask all these questions first, and this is really important when it comes to the assessment of the client themselves. And you also have to assess current fitness levels. Now, this is not the sexiest part of designing training programs, but it's not my favorite part, but you do have to look at the data. So we do have an in-body scan here at the gym, so we like to scan people, see what their body composition looks like, and then we ask them questions on where they want to go. So it's like, what are your goals? And you know, and then you, most people say, oh, I want to get stronger. I'm like, well, what does that mean, get stronger? Or I want to lose weight. Okay, well, how much weight do you want to lose? And most people have no idea on either or. So that's why we got to kind of peel back the layers and unpack this a little bit more, just so we know exactly as coaches where we can actually take you, because this is a big reason why people get frustrated in the first place. And what frustrates me partly the most in the fitness industry is that people will just project a training program onto a member or onto a client that they're working with, and they just hope it works without having any kind of idea what that person even wants to improve on in the first place. They're just like, okay, you're here to get fit? Cool. You want to get healthy? Cool. We're doing this. We're just going to throw you into CrossFit and just crush you every day and hope it works. No, that doesn't work like that. Especially, it's 2025, guys. Come on. Let's do better. So we want to create SMART goals. And then so, first off, I do ask a lot of questions, and I know that can be kind of annoying, but I need to know exactly what we're working on, because I can't read your mind. And a lot of times, the reason people don't stick with fitness is because they have all these expectations and no one to actually manage them. So a good coach will help you not only coach you through movements, through your nutrition, and through all the ups and downs and everything on that you're doing on the sleep and the back end. And And what they'll do is they'll actually help you actually have attainable goals and actually give you they'll actually give you kind of realistic expectations, I should say, on how long this is actually going to take, and also reinforce that this is a journey that's going to be lifelong. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. They just kind of expect to do like a 6-week or a 9-day challenge, and then they'll be exactly where they want to be. And that's not always the case. Fitness is one of those things where you have to attach a 10-year timeline to it. And I know that sucks, and I don't like saying that because it goes contrary to what most fitness gurus out there will say, but like, get fit in 90 days and never have to work out again, or buy this product. Like, no, it's going to take 10 years. Just expect that it's going to take 10 years to get to where you want to go. That's going to make it mentally, manageably easier, because then you can just take it step by step. Now, if you are not looking for a long-term result like that, I'm sorry, but you'll never make it. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it now. You probably won't make it. No offense, but I hope you're offended. So create SMART goals. So we want it to be, so I'm sure you guys have all heard this before. SMART goals, it's an acronym. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Okay, when you have a goal and it's too broad, or it's unachievable. So let's say I want to lose 200 pounds in 2 days. And it's like, it needs to be somewhat realistic here. So that's where all the questions come. I'm not going to get into the details of the kind of questions that I ask, but just know that, you know, in order to be a good coach, you have to ask good questions in order to peel back the layers and get as specific as possible. So that way you can actually plan a roadmap for your member or whoever you're working with. Because there's a big difference when someone comes in and, for example, I find out they're a vegetarian and they want to get, and they previously did marathons, but now they want to build strength. Now, if I didn't ask them, sit them down for 15 minutes and actually ask them, what fitness have you done in the past? What do you currently want to do? What do you like to eat? And then, so now I find out all this information in 15 minutes. Like, for example, I had someone come in, they were a vegetarian. They were previously a marathon runner, and then now they're here specifically want to work with us because they want to get stronger. Now, had I not taken that 15 minutes just to sit down with them, look at their scan, and I saw that, you know, that their muscle mass was low, which is normal, but they're very healthy. They were very ready to train. So now I also have context on that. I want to know if someone's physically able, ready to train. Also, I know they were a marathon runner. So I know, okay, great. So, and I asked them, what was their marathon time? They're like, oh, it was 3 hours. I'm like, okay, great. So you are pretty fit. So if you have the mental fortitude to run a marathon in 3 hours, and you've been training, you know, you've been doing this for 20 years. Okay, great. So it's a lot different when I work with someone than it's their first time in the gym. They've been sedentary their whole life. They've never played a sport and they work a desk job. I'm going to train them a lot differently. And let's say their goal is just health and longevity. I'm going to train them a lot differently than someone who has been running marathons for 20 years and is here now finally to switch things up and to gain muscle. It's way two different personalities that are going to, one's going to be very mentally tough and I can be very direct with them with my coaching. The other one, I might have to hold their hand a little bit, and that's okay. A good coach will adapt their coaching style to the client and still be themselves, but at the same time, they're not gonna like beat them into the ground and be like, you suck. Okay. Because that gets, you know, no one anywhere. So when we're planning, we want to make sure that we have something, the less is more on this. So we want to make sure that we have something realistic, that's time bound, it's achievable, relevant, measurable, and it's specific. So you can have multiple goals at once, or one goal to train for an event. Like, I have a lot of people who want to train for CrossFit competitions. So time bound would be, okay, your competition is in 8 weeks. Okay, great. I know that what we need to do to prepare for that. It's relevant because I know CrossFit really well. I'm your guy. And it's also what we do in class. It's achievable because at the end of the day, like, how do you want to do in this competition? Oh, I just don't want to finish last. Okay, great. Well, I can definitely help you with that. Now, if you want to win, that's going to be a lot different. It's measurable. That one's a little bit tricky, but it's measurable in the fact that, you know, we can prepare for the events. If we know the events ahead of hand, we can test them. I can watch you run through them. I can give you tips on pacing. I can tell you when to pick up the bar, when to slow down. I can kind of see if we need to work on your aerobic base or your strength, or your skill, your muscle endurance. It's also specific. It's like, it's a CrossFit event. So, okay, so great. And that's why I do like coaching people. And I do like competitions because it gives someone something to train for. It's within the realm of something that they are somewhat comfortable with already. They're just going to be in a different environment and someone's going to be counting the reps for them as a judge. And so that's why I do really like CrossFit competitions, because kind of distracts you from just the pure aesthetics and body composition, because that will happen naturally when you are training for something that's going to require your entire day, and you'll be doing multiple events in one day. You're going to have things dialed into where it's going to be a very pleasant after effect is looking good as well, because you're going to have to be dialing in your recovery, your training. You'll be doing probably 2 days at least, and you're also nutrition's going to be dialed in, and your sleep's going to be dialed in. So let's move on to number two, which is prioritize. Now, let's get right into defining it. So it's focusing on what matters to reach your goals faster, because it's really easy to get distracted, especially in fitness. It's like, oh, look at all these shiny objects. Oh, like I've had one person the other day who was like, oh, I want to snatch. I want to do muscle ups. I want to do handstand walks. I'm like, okay. And then again, I go back to asking questions. I'm like, okay, well, how many strict handstand pushups can you do? None. Okay. Well, how many pushups can you do? 5. Okay. That gives me an idea. I'm not pooping on you, because you're not quite at that level yet, but it gives me an idea of where we're at physically. Because if you can only do 5 pushups, your goal is to do handstand walks and strict handstand pushups and snatch and muscle ups, we have a lot of work to do. And I know exactly where I can start you to where you can actually have the most success, and also give you a timeline that's actually realistic. So I can be like, do you actually want this, and how bad do you want this? Because I always do ask people on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to actually reaching this goal? If they say a 10, great. If they say a 5, I'm like, okay, well, let's just reassess your goals then. You know, because that's my job as a coach, is to find out what you want and how badly you want it. Because if you don't want it that bad, that's not no big deal. But let's change things up. Let's find something that you do want that bad, because then you're more likely to stick with it. So why prioritization is critical, and it prevents burnout and ensures that you're working on key areas. Again, it keeps you focused, gives you clarity on where to actually go. And it aligns training intensity with your personal capacity. And this is something that's really hard to figure out, even as a coach. When you watch someone train, you have a good read on them on exactly what they can handle and what they can't. And then you kind of know exactly how to kind of push their buttons a little bit. It's kind of sinister, but you can kind of push their buttons a little bit and then push them over the edge to where they're uncomfortable. But as a coach, you know, they could probably do this. Yeah, you have no idea how many times I've designed training programs or workouts specifically where I'm like, this is going to be hard, but I think they can do it. You know, and sometimes people even said, Matt, were you drinking when you wrote this workout? I'm like, no, I don't drink. Well, I don't drink often. So, no, I don't do that. Excuse me. Tips for prioritizing your training. So you have to identify your must-have versus your nice-to-have elements in your program. So it's really more about, when you prioritize, it's not about adding more. It's actually about what can we take away. So one thing I like to do is I actually like to write down people's goals along with this on what we're going to prioritize. But on that same side, I'm like, what are you willing to sacrifice for this goal? Because I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about, is that they get really into it and they're like, well, I want to do this. And let's use the endurance example again. So let's say this marathon runner comes in. This is just hypothetical, by the way. This isn't actually happened. We're just using this as a scenario. But let's just say they came in and they were like, okay, well, I want to maintain my three-hour marathon, but I also want to clean and jerk 405 pounds. So both two totally different energy systems. One's highly central nervous system. The other's highly aerobic. And so we have to identify, what are we willing to sacrifice to get that 405 clean and jerk? And a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you want that 405 clean and jerk? Because we're going to need a lot of steroids. Anyway, I'm just joking about that. Don't do steroids. But you want to make sure that again, that you're going to have to make some sacrifices in order to be successful in another area. And that's okay. And that's why training, this is so important when it comes to these three P's, is that training comes up and down. You can't do everything all at once. You cannot build your fitness concurrently if you want to get really good at something, especially something like CrossFit, because there's so many different elements and and focuses that you need to do, and that you have to be biased in one area for a while. Like, for example, when I was really weak, I spent an entire year only doing Olympic weightlifting and relearning my mechanics, dialing in my strength, doing squat cycles. I didn't really do a ton of CrossFit. I still did CrossFit like 1 to 3 times a week, but not that intense. I didn't do a ton of aerobic work. I just focused only on my strength because that was my biggest weakness. So I sacrificed an entire year just working on my strength. And then once my strength got better, which was like my main thing that I had to work on overall, especially my Olympic lifting, that's when I moved back into CrossFit. And guess what? CrossFit was a lot easier because I had all this strength built behind me and all the skills and my nervous system and my agility, speed, coordination, balance was so much better. And you have to be willing to do that. And when you prioritize, you have to identify what is your main constraint personally as either someone who wants to get, whether it's longevity or you're an athlete, you have to be like, what is the number one thing that's actually holding me back right now? And how can I make this the easiest way to remedy this or to make this not a constraint anymore? And to have that clarity in doing it. So that way you actually know exactly what you're shooting for, because you cannot hit a target when you're blindfolded or you don't even know what you're aiming for. It's just not going to work. So it also helps you manage time wisely, and it helps you focus on quality over quantity. Because if you don't if you don't prioritize, you're just going to end up doing everything. And then if you do everything, you will get better at nothing. You know, it's kind of like you can do anything, but you can't do everything. I'm sure you've heard that quote before. It's one of my favorites. And like I said, like I've worked with a lot of different members and clients, and you know, a lot of my PT clients want just longevity. So guess what we do? I train them as if I'm gonna be training them for the next 20 years. Now I know they probably won't stick with me for 20 years, and that's okay. But I do train them to make sure that we're injury free, that we're focusing on training, maintaining muscle mass, and then we're also doing things that are metabolic enough to where we're losing fat and maintaining better, good cardiovascular health, and hopefully lowering visceral fat as well, and giving them periodic in-body scans to make sure we're on track to hit those targets. Now, if you're training a CrossFit athlete who wants to compete in a local competition or even a higher level, that's where we train more performance metrics. So we look at one rep maxes, like we talked about in the last podcast, give us a lot of context on strength. It helps us easily identify imbalances. And then from there, it helps us identify how we can prioritize the next training cycle in order to mitigate what those weaknesses are and to remedy those and to you know, kind of plug the holes in the bucket per se. So prioritization, very important. And the less goals you have or the less priorities you have, the better. Always ask yourself what you're willing to sacrifice in order to get to that goal. Now we're going to move on to periodize. Now this is where it gets fun. This is where we get a little more specific and more into the actual program design part, which is fun to talk about. So the definition of periodization is structuring training into phases to maximize performance and recovery. Now key word here is recovery. Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys don't focus on this. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm talking to you. You are listening to this. You probably under recover. And by me, I'm not talking about foam rolling or stretching. I'm talking about you probably don't sleep enough. If you're not getting, you know, 7 to 9 hours, you're probably under recovering. I hate to say it. I know, Matt, it's hard. It's so hard. Well, guess what? Stop staying up and watching Squid Game. Okay. It's not worth it. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm guilty because I did that recently. I just finished season 2. It was actually really good. And, funny, I'm Korean. I didn't understand a word they said, so I needed the subtitles. So when it comes to why periodization matters, it helps us to avoid plateaus and reduces injury risk, okay? Because if you're plateauing, the training needs to change, or your lifestyle, something on the back end needs to change. And I'll be honest with you, just like how I just went on a tangent about recovery, it probably is your lifestyle, because as someone who took competing very seriously, aka myself, the thing I did not take seriously, or I didn't think I needed to take seriously, was my recovery. So I did not sleep that great. I slept okay, but not as good as I know I could have, especially now that I'm older and I'm a little bit wiser. I didn't spend any time foam rolling. I didn't spend any time stretching or working on my mobility. Now, granted, now we have much better knowledge on that, but still, you know, I'm not an idiot. I kind of knew that in the back of my mind, still chose not to do it. And got frustrated when I couldn't hit certain positions in my Olympic lifts or my gymnastics, ironically. And then also nutrition. Now, nutrition is a big key part of this because it is the number one factor, especially as you start getting older. And I know many of you listening to this aren't looking to be high competitive athletes, but your nutrition still matters, especially in being anti-inflammatory, also making sure that you're recovering properly from training. Because anytime I see someone coming in here that's sluggish, I know it's either their sleep, nutrition, or hydration. It's one of those. Now, if you're tired doing just a basic CrossFit workout in class and you come in and you just feel like crap the entire time, it's one of those three. I hands down guarantee it. And I know it's not what you want to hear, but you need to fix that. And if you don't know how to fix it, come talk to me. I will help you for free. I will not charge for it because I care about you. What this does is ensures peak performance at the right time. Because if we're training for something, especially, we want to make sure we peak. Now, peaking, we usually go in phases where we go through a volume phase, then we go through a intensity and frequency stage, and then we go through a deload phase. And then the deload phase is actually where we're peaking because that's where we're hitting maximum intensity, but the volume is very low and the frequency is high. And then even on the day before, I like to have a touch point with my athlete who I'm training. I have them doing something very short but very intense just to kind of get their nervous system prepped for what's about to happen. Because I know some of you listening to this, you probably actually feel worse sometimes after a rest day. And I'm one of those people. I'd rather do something the day before a competition than nothing because it kind of just keeps my momentum going and it kind of keeps me, keeps my nervous system ready for like the kind of that pain cave that's about to happen. So that's just how I prep people. And now periodization still happens even at lower levels, not lower levels that you're not as good, but just at levels to where there's not as high stakes. So I still move all my PT clients, my group clients, all through different phases of training, which is really important because we do load and deload, do training cycles. I typically will do, if I'm working one-on-one with someone, they'll typically do a 1 week deload. And what we do here is we just lower the volume. And we usually, either the intensity can go up, it just depends on who I'm working with. It depends on the person. And then, but the volume for everybody definitely gets lower. That's one thing that is, and then the frequency is low as well, meaning that we just don't do as many movements as possible. I do like to keep the intensity somewhat high or having some touch points on there, but then we just kind of do more aerobic work. We do things that are higher intensity, but just less reps. And that's kind of the best way to say it without kind of going down the rabbit hole here. Now, there's different types of periodization. And there's two main types, really. And there's utilating periodization. Oh, sorry, not utilating. I'm going to go over linear first. Linear is the most common. Linear is just like progressive overload. So it's just gradual increases in intensity or load over time. So that's just basic principles of program design and training is just gradually overloading you until you get better. And then we deload you and then we let you recover. And then we do that same thing again. Maybe we'll mix things up. We identify the weaknesses and we go again. Utilating is varying intensity week to week or session to session. Now this does happen more often, more with my one-on-one clients because their schedules are kind of all over the place. So if they're feeling really good, we'll hit something hard and I'll change it on the spot if I need to. And if they're, you know, come back from a travel week or, you know, they didn't sleep well that night, again, change the training, not a big deal. But I'm always customizing things and changing things on the fly constantly because you always learn something new or something comes up or the athlete or the person you're working with just, you know, either you're feeling really good or really bad. Usually it's one or the other. It's usually never in between. And then there's also block periodization, which is you're focusing on one goal at a time. Now, this is what I did. I actually blocked off an entire year to focus on my Olympic lifting, and it paid off tenfold. A lot of you probably think that I've always been good at it. No, I was terrible at Olympic weightlifting. I used to be terrible at double unders. I used to not be able to do a pull-up or a muscle-up, so I really focused on that. And if you just pro tip here, if you want to get better at something, you have to up the frequency. I'm not saying the intensity or the load, but the more frequently you do something that you're working on, the chances of you getting better at it, shocking, is very high. And by focusing on one goal at a time, you know, you work on strength, hypertrophy, endurance. It just depends. Usually you can work on two at a time out of the three. And that can usually work. I prefer to focus on one just because that's just how I am. I like to just identify the constraint, make it to where it is not a constraint anymore, and then I move on to the next constraint. Because usually once you have, once you plug that hole in the bucket, usually another one opens up because you plug that hole. So for example, something I didn't think about when I got stronger was that I gained weight. So I put on a lot more muscle. So I went from like 185, 170, like high 170s to like 195 to 200 pounds, kind of fluctuating in between there. So when I got done with my lifting cycle of over a year, I came back to doing gymnastics. Now, mind you, I still had touch points on them. I didn't just completely stop doing CrossFit. But I felt so much heavier. So my muscle-ups didn't feel as good. My handstand push-ups didn't feel great. Running didn't feel that great because I just felt heavier. But on the other hand, like rowing and the assault bike or the echo bike did feel good because I had more mass behind it, so I could generate more power, which was great. But I just felt heavier. My joints couldn't take like the running as well, so I had to like slowly build up to that. So that's just an example of block training, is that once you focus on one goal at a time, usually another thing will open up that you're going to have to address down the road when it comes to training. And some tips for effective periodization is that you have to set clear timelines for each phase. Now, this is going to vary person to person, but in my group training, we typically do training cycles anywhere between 4 to 16 weeks, depending on what we're working on. And there'll be even little micro cycles or mini cycles within there that we're focusing on something very specific, depending on the data that we collect. And then we have to set clear timelines. Oh, wait, I already said that. Set clear timelines for each phase, which is what we did. And then usually you can build them each in blocks. So for example, let's say we go through an 8-week phase of squats, okay? And then after that, we want to add some more speed to it. So we start adding in power cleans, and then we go to the next phase, which is squat cleans. And then we add in the jerk, so squat, clean, and jerk. And you can kind of see how things can build off. Now, I know it's a very simple example, but you can see that I always like to start with strength first. Especially in the off season, I'll start with strength and aerobic work. And then as we get closer to, let's say, we're training for the CrossFit Games Open for the gym, we start slowly bringing those things together and start doing more mixed modal stuff. And when I say mixed modal, more just like straight CrossFit. And then we want to make sure that we include deload weeks for recovery. Now, this is really important. I already addressed deload weeks earlier, that we lower volume, intensity, or frequency. It just depends on the person. It's going to be different on how everyone reacts to the training, and it depends on how, as a coach, that you're monitoring them. And then you'll know exactly what to do just based on the feedback that they give you. And then deload week is usually just a week of recovery. That doesn't say you stop working out. It doesn't say that you don't like try. It's just that you have to have lower volume in order for the body and the nervous system to recover. That's really important, because if you just keep beating yourself to the ground 365 days a year, you're going to get nowhere, and you're also just going to get burned out, and you're going to hate working out. And I've beat myself into the ground just working out, just doing random workouts. And once I learned about deloading sucks. Even to this day, I still hate deloading, because usually I don't feel that bad. And then once I deload, and my first day coming back to intensity or coming back to kind of standard training kind of sucks, because you're like, oh my God, like I just deloaded. I'm not as fit as I used to be, blah, 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 blah. But that's not true, because your body needs to go through phases. Because if you just keep going hard all the time, you're just going to get sick of it. Even if you feel good physically, you're just going to get sick of training, and it's just going to be fun anymore, because you're like, well, why am I doing this? But when you go through those deload phases, it kind of helps you like just relax and reflect, and gives you time to do other things other than just being at the gym all the time. And then you want to adjust progress. You want to adjust based on progress and setbacks. So again, it's just identifying, collecting data. Make sure, this is a huge reason why I also don't do online programming anymore. I used to do that a lot for people. And now I mainly just focus on, I like to watch people in person, because even their body language, their facial expressions, how they approach a barbell, how long it takes them to pick up the bar, how long they're staring at the rings or the pull-up bar, tells me a lot about what their mental state is. And then also their confidence level. So that way I can actually help build that confidence by giving them some wins, and also tearing their confidence down by giving them some brutal workouts. I'm just joking. But yes, I will push you. That's my job, is to make you better. But some real life examples is that I did work one-on-one with a coach for online programming, and he did a great job when I was competing of identifying what my main weaknesses were and then periodizing that. So I didn't even realize, but when I went through some of the tests for fitness, my aerobic system was super weak. So we always did double days. So every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, I would do double days, but in the morning would always be something aerobic. Okay. So I would warm up and I would do like rowing intervals or just something like a zone two work for like 40 minutes or an hour long row, or I would do aerobic intervals where it was like higher intensity. So I'd always do that every morning, which built my aerobic system at the same time. We do our normal training about 6 hours later at night. And that really helped me a lot, because without a coach, without some sort of expertise, then you're just kind of stuck in the wind. And you're never going to be able to break through those plateaus, because a lot of times you don't even know that that's a weakness until someone from outside perspective will actually point it out and be like, hey, this is actually a huge problem. And you probably didn't even know it. And I didn't know it. And then we're able to work on that. And that saves so much time and mental energy, because then when you do identify that constraint, and once you fix it, and once you get back into doing some traditional CrossFit again, you feel amazing. Like, wow, like this is so much easier. And it's fun when you can say that CrossFit is a little bit easier, just because you identified your weakness, you addressed it, and then now you turn that actually into a strength where you actually like it again. Because let's be real, the reason you don't like doing certain things is just simply because you're not good at it yet. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, I can't remember the last time I met someone who was like, oh, I really like doing things that I'm bad at. So, yeah. And then, but once you are good at it, guess what? Funny story, you probably start enjoying it. It's just how it is. Let's move on to, so that covers all the three P's. I have some common questions here that I get asked all the time about program design that I'm going to answer, and then we'll wrap things up here. But real quick, I want to thank you guys all you guys and gals for listening to the podcast. It's a huge, huge, I don't even know what I was going to say, but it just makes me feel good when you guys come up to me at the gym, or I get a DM or even a text message saying, hey, like, I really enjoyed listening to that. That was really helpful. So if you do me a favor, please help someone else and just share it with a friend or someone you know. You never know if that could be helpful for them. And also, it makes me more motivated to keep making content once I keep seeing the numbers go up, which they are. So I really appreciate all you listening and sharing. I've had tremendous growth in 2024, and I'm really excited to keep sharing my knowledge with you, and I really enjoy doing this. So thank you so much for your support, and please hit that share button. I really appreciate it. Now, on to the questions. So let's go over some common questions that I get asked. And the number one is, how can I balance multiple goals at once? Great question. You can't. It depends on how big they are, actually. So, and I would also argue that if you don't have a singular focus at first, then you won't be able to have multiple focuses. And this really comes down to you as a person. So are you someone who can stick with something the long term? And if you're not, then you need to be on a singular focus. Now, if you're someone who has a history of sticking with things long term, you could probably have 2 to 3 goals pretty easily. But I would probably stick to 2 to 3. When you have too many things on your plate, it just gets frustrating, and it's also really hard to get good at something. So at most I would say 3, and 3 big ones. So what, like, for a good example, just be like, I want to get good. I want to do a CrossFit competition. I want to be able to do 5 muscle ups unbroken, and I want to be able to deadlift 405 pounds. That's all pretty reasonable, because the CrossFit competition, let's say, is in 6 months. Okay, well, we got time to prepare for that. The 5 unbroken ring muscles is probably going to be the hardest part, depending on where you're starting at. And let's say you have 1 currently. Well, great. Now it's a matter of just refining your strength and getting your skills up and making you more efficient. And then this person has a 315 deadlift. So it's, yeah, let's say a little bit higher, like 335 deadlift, and they want to take it to 405. Okay, great. 3 really solid goals, good timeline, and they can definitely do that all at once. And the question is, how do you balance it? And the only way you can balance it is to have some sort of a specific coach. Now, if you're first starting out, you can kind of do some broad stuff, but the best way to do this is to get some sort of a one-on-one coaching to actually identify what that is and get some specialty programming or one-on-one coaching in person to actually get there, because that's going to take the least amount of time and the least amount of friction to get to those goals. And what if I don't, the second question is, what if I don't see progress during a phase? That's another great question. I've already kind of addressed this in the podcast itself, but you have to first identify what's going on in the back end. So how's your sleep, your hydration, and your nutrition? Now, once you can tell me for a fact that all 3 of those are dialed in and you have evidence and data to back that up, then we can start looking at the training program itself. You also have to look at your adherence to the training program. We talked about adherence in the last podcast. So adherence is actually getting the training done. Now, if you're not getting the training done as it's written and you're not sticking to the rest times, you're lollygagging around, or you're not resting enough, then then that's on you. And most of the times it's not the training or the program design that's affecting your outcome. It's mostly what you're doing on the back end. I'm just being honest with you because that's what I see 80% of the time. The other 20% of the time, yes, it's something wrong with the program, or you're just not sticking with it, or you're doing the program incorrectly, which is when you just need to have the coach watch you. And then final question is, how do I adjust my plan when life gets in the way? Now, this is a great question because life does get in the way. Things come up. You're an adult. You know, your entire life doesn't involve working out because you're not an Olympic athlete or a CrossFit Games athlete. Now, when life gets in the way, you don't let it or use it as an excuse. That's the best way to put it, is that what you do is when life gets in the way is that you get done what you can with what you have. And by that meaning that if you have to break up the training, then talk to your coach, talk to someone who's an expert, and be like, well, hey, this is what's going on. You don't have to go into super details if you don't want to. It's okay. I'm not saying you have to, but just let us know what's going on. And then tell us what's the best way we can support you and to actually make sure that some of the training gets done. And then also we can help monitor your progress in terms of recovery. So that way, you know, make sure you're sleeping enough, make sure we're reducing the stress and making progress towards that goal. Even though it may not be perfect, we can still make progress with what you have and what little time you do have. You'd be very surprised on how much, you know, 30 to 45 minutes of very focused training can do. And you know, that's what we're here for. And a good coach can adjust on the fly. And that's what our job is to lay out a plan, periodize it, prioritize it for you. And then from there, when things do come up, which they always do, doesn't matter who you are, even if you are a full-time athlete, things come up. And then from there, it's our job to make adjustments or help you make adjustments for you and ask you the right questions to make sure that you're also on track to doing the right things to where, you know, you're just taking all the guesswork out of it and we're cutting through the noise. That's the best thing you can do to adjust your plan when life gets in the way is to consult with your coach. So just to recap everything, everybody. So we have the three P's: plan, prioritize, periodize. And the main takeaway you could take from this, if you learn nothing from this podcast, is that if you take time to implement the three P's into your training, you'll definitely set yourself up for sustainable long-term success. You don't want to just wing it and just go out there and do random workouts. It's not going to work. Believe me, I've tried it before. Please don't do that. And please share this with a friend. And I hope this was helpful. And I will see you on the next episode.